chapter 24. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Begin reading with verse number 15. I want to read down to verse number 20 for our text. Proverbs 24, verse 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. We're going to give a title to our message this morning. It would very simply be titled, The Wicked. The Wicked. Verse number 15 references the wicked man. And we want to note from our text three things about the wicked one, the wicked man, the wicked individual. And although we're going to be talking about the wicked, the message this morning is actually towards us as God's people. I hope it'll be a message of encouragement. I hope it'll be a message that challenges us in this first service to get up, to rise up, to get back up again, and to keep getting back up again. Want to notice three things about the wicked, and for those of you who outline, we're going to notice the wicked's design, we're going to notice the wicked's disappointment, and then we're going to notice the wicked's destruction. Notice first of all in verse number 15, the Word of God says to the wicked, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous, spoil not his resting place. In verse number 15, we see the design. We see the desire. We see the intent of a wicked person's heart. It is to attack. It is to do harm to. It is to destroy the righteous person. And we're living in a wicked world. And you live and you work in and around wicked people. Even in our own families, there may be those who rise up who we would have to describe as wicked. Sometimes we come to church and sometimes we sit alongside of folks who could be described as wicked. And their desire and their design is to do us harm. I would remind every one of us as God's people this morning that Satan is not the only enemy we have. There's many wicked out there who are our enemies, who set traps for us, who seek to see us fall. It is their desire, and nothing brings them more pleasure than to see a Christian fall flat on their face. If you think about your life long enough this morning, surely you've been the victim of a wicked one. Surely somebody has talked about you. Surely somebody has attacked you. Surely somebody has gossiped about you. Surely somebody has sown seeds that meant to your harm. We've all experienced those who seek to do us harm as God's people. Verse 15 is a warning to them. And because they're wicked, surely it is a warning that would fall upon deaf ears, but it is a warning to them that shows us their intent. They do lie in wait. They do set traps. They do seek to spoil our resting place. There's somebody you work with who possibly is watching you every minute. Just looking for something to use against you. You have lost people in your family. You might find yourself with those even in your own family watching you. Just hoping you'll stumble. Just hoping they can point at something and say, "See, you're not much of a Christian." The intent of the wicked man is to destroy the righteous, to do harm to the righteous. Look back to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms 37 and verse number 32. It says, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him." That's the design. That's the desire of the wicked. They're watching God's people. They watched you this morning as you got in your car and came to church. They watch you every week as you go out with your Bible to go to the house of the Lord. They watch you every day on the job. They watch you at public gatherings. They might even sit in church and watch you and looking for ways to do harm and destruction. It's their nature. We need to be alert. We need to be alarmed. There are those who would not only laugh and take great joy in seeing you and I fall, there are some who even plan to bring that about. If you ever tried to be godly and live godly in the workplace, you know there are those who would lie in wait. "Oh, there's that Christian. There's that one, he'll not work on Sundays. There's that one, she insists on being in God's house. There's that one who won't act this way, and there's that one who won't do the things we do. Let's get that one. Let's not allow them into our group, and let's look for some way to do them harm." They lie in wait. Look also in chapter 56 of Psalms. David experienced this many times during his life. Here in this psalm, we have a psalm of David, and David knew what it meant to have those who sought his destruction. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul." You ever feel like that? As you try to live for the Lord, as you try to have standards and convictions, and you try to be faithful to the Lord, have you ever felt that there were those who just constantly sought you to fall, just constantly watched and marked your steps? Every word that came out of your mouth, they would be listening to in hopes of finding something. They'd say, "Oh, you're a Christian, and you talk like that?" David understood that. "Every day they wrest my words. Their thoughts are against me for evil." The wicked's design and desire is to cause the righteous to fall. But I want you to go back to our text now, and I want you to notice, second of all, the wicked's disappointment. They're warned in verse number 15 not to lay wait for the wicked. They're warned in verse number 15 not to seek to spoil the righteous' resting place. But then in verse number 16, even if they don't heed the warning, and even though they seek to destroy the righteous, Verse 16 relates to us that the wicked are going to be disappointed. Because it says in verse 16, "For the just man falleth seven times, but he rises up again." You may cause him to stumble, O wicked one. You may trip him up. You may find fault in him. You may see him fall from time to time. But God's people, the righteous, will always rise back up and will always, by the grace of God, dust themselves off and go on and serve the Lord. See, the wicked can seek to trip us up, and sometimes they do. We stumble. We fall. But they can't destroy us. You see the disappointment of the wicked? Don't lay traps. Don't listen to everywhere. Don't seek their destruction. Don't try to do my people harm, because it's futile. Even though you do it, they'll rise up. Isn't that a glorious encouragement this morning? We stumble. We fall. Satan gets the best of us from time to time. Our neighbors, our workmates, our own family members sometimes cause us to stumble and fall. But God's people are able to get back up. And God's able are able to get back into the fight. They may rise up against us, but they'll not be ultimately victorious. God brings His people through these times. Though they fall seven times, they rise up again. Thought about some of the things that raise up the Christian when they fall. When the wicked one, whoever it may be, though it be Satan himself, comes against us and we stumble and we get bruised and we get scraped up, what are some of the things that causes us to be able to rise up again, to recover, to continue to serve the Lord? Well, first of all, there's grace. You know, grace does so much more for me and so much more for you than just save our souls. There's living grace. There's grace for every moment. Paul prayed about his thorn in the flesh, and God says, you're just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to accept it and just understand my grace will be there for every minute. And when you're stumbling and when you fall and when they knock you down and they get the best of you and they say evil against you and they're hurting your reputation and they're destroying your testimony, you hang in there. By the grace of God, you'll rise back up. They'll be the ones ultimately defeated. Look over to Psalms 34. Psalms, the 34th chapter, and verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Doesn't say we don't have troubles. It says God delivers us out of them. Doesn't say we won't have hard times. The Lord is there to hear, and the Lord is there to heal, and the Lord is there to lift us up out of those times. It doesn't mean our hearts don't get broken. It doesn't mean we aren't temporarily defeated. It doesn't mean sin doesn't get the best of us. It doesn't mean Satan isn't victorious from time to time. But by the grace of God, He's always attentive, and He's always there to lift us up and to help us in our struggles. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. With many afflictions, spiritual afflictions, physical afflictions. Life is filled with difficulties and heartaches and discouragements, defeats. But by the grace of God, He's always there. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants. None of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. God's people fall, but they don't stay down. By the grace of God, He lifts them up. Great encouragement to the day and time in which we live. Then I thought the righteous rise up because of blessings. The Bible tells us God daily loads us with blessings. We stumble, we fall. Wicked ones around us sometimes get the best of us. But God daily loads us with blessings that enable us to be able to get up and go on. God provides all of our needs. He gives everything we need to serve Him and live for Him right now. Look at your life, and let me look at my life, and look at all the blessings God gives us. Let's get our eyes off of the negatives, and let's really look at all that God has done. Are not those blessings enablers? Are not those things He gives us items that help us serve Him more and better? Are they not things that when we do stumble, help us be able to get up quicker? Folks, God has done so much for us and given us so much that when we fall and when we're afflicted, we're able to rise up because of all the blessings He gives us. But sometimes the righteous can rise up by repentance. When we fall, when we stumble, when the wicked one has laid a trap and we have fallen into it, sometimes repentance is what rises us up. Read in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 5, where He said to the church there, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." Look at yourself. He was saying this to the church, but let us do this as individuals. Look at yourself. You're laying flat there on the ground. The devil has gotten the best of you. Repent, and you'll rise up. Repenting and getting right with God is sometimes needed for us to rise back up. When we have sinned and when we've fallen against and sinned against our God and we're laying down there like the prodigal son in the pig trough, when it's our sin that has caused us to do that, getting up requires repentance, requires confession, requires getting right with God. We've got a philosophy in religion today that says you can sin and stumble and fall, and God's just going to lift you up, and He's going to ignore and overlook the fact that you sin and you fell. It doesn't work that way. We've got to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us, but we must confess our sins. We must repent of those fallings that are our responsibility, that are sinful in nature, and seek to rise up again. We also rise up because of mercy. You'd think God would get tired of us falling, wouldn't you? But in His mercy, God is always there when we fall. In His mercy, He's always there. It may have been that you did the same thing yesterday. It may have been that that's the same thing you fell into last week. That's the same thing you fell into a year ago. That's the same thing that you stumbled over 2 years ago. But God in His mercy doesn't say that's your last chance. God loves His people with an everlasting love. And He's always there in mercy to rise us up, restore us, and put the pieces back together, as we like to say. Look at Psalms 37 again. Psalms 37. Verse number 23. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. I like that. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Because of mercy and God's kindness and love for us. When we stumble, we can rise up. Because God's not a God who, when we stumble, kicks us when we're down. God's a God who loves His children. God wants us to rise up. Another reason we rise up is because of God's favor. You realize if you're here and you're saved, God favors you over everyone else. Book of Psalms 56 verse 9 says this, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. Then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." If you're here and you're saved, you can say that. God is for me. Heard a preacher recently say that he tells sinners that God loves them. And a sinner doesn't have any assurance of that. And while they're in their sin, they can't say that. But you and I, as God's people, we can say, God loves me. I know God loves me because He sent His Son to die. I know He loves me because He demonstrated that love to me. I know He loves me because He's made that love real to me. And I love Him because He first loved me. We have favor with God. When His people fall, He takes notice. He never leaves us, so when we fall, he's got to still be there, doesn't He? God is for me. I don't care how much of a wreck your life is this morning. I don't care how fallen you are. I don't care how many people have walked all over you and kicked you while you're down. God is there, and God loves you, and God is for you, and God is seeking you to rise up. To be right with Him and to serve Him and to brush the dust off and continue to live victorious. Just because you failed is no reason to stay there in the failure. Time to rise up. That's what revival is really all about. God's people stumble and they fall. And if we haven't stumbled and we fall, sometimes we just stop growing. Seems like we just kind of plateau out. We need to rise up. Or we need to get back into the thick of things for the Lord. We need to start growing and nurturing. We need to start loving those things that have become so blasé to us. We need a return to New Testament Christianity. We need to return this morning to the Christianity you had the day the Lord saved you. And I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but in your own heart, ask yourself this morning, how many of us feel the way we did the Lord saved us right now? Ask your heart that. Remember that joy, that excitement, that release, that great thrill of knowing my sins are forgiven. That closeness you had to the Lord that moment. See, revival is about recognizing that we don't feel that close. We don't feel that freshness. Rather, we have fallen or we've just stopped growing in grace and in knowledge. We need a return. Another reason we rise up is because of preservation. Psalms 37 verse 24 says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." He shall not be utterly cast down. Why? The Lord preserves His people. God isn't watching us, and when we fall, say, "Oh, you're no longer saved. Take your name out." God is preserving His people even when we fall. It's not going to be to our utter destruction. In fact, one of the greatest concerns I have for somebody who has fallen and who stays there for years and years and years is just that they may not even be the Lord's. because the Lord preserves His people. And although we stumble, and I'm not going to say there's a certain time you stay down there, but if you're one of His people, sooner or later, the Lord, in His preservation, is going to lift you up. Or He's going to take you to glory. And if you're just sitting there in your sins and you don't ever feel any conviction or any feeling of the presence of the Spirit of God, and you don't ever feel a need to want to rise up, just maybe you need salvation more than rising up. We're not utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with His hand. When we fall, we rise up because of God's providence. Romans 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for the good to them that love God. All things. Doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for our good. So we may stumble, we may fall. But we rise up, and even from those fallings, we become a better Christian, stronger Christian, more sympathetic Christian. You know, when you stumble and you scrape yourself up, you see somebody else stumble and get scraped up, you're more sympathetic to them. You relate better to them. The providence of God may allow us to stumble and fall, but He'll rise us up, make us stronger from it. We also see the just rise up because of their character and their integrity. Don't ever underestimate the importance of being a person of character, of integrity, of standard, of conviction. Because it's people who have these things that when they're tripped up, rise up quicker, rise up sooner. Because in our text it says, the just man falls seven times and rises up again. It's not just always sin. There's other things that stumble us. There's other things that cause us to fall. And those of character and those of strength and those of great faith are the ones that rise up sooner. So the wicked is disappointed. And then, third of all, we see the wicked's destruction. Back in our text, Proverbs 24, in verse number 16, the just man falls seven times, but he rises up again. The wicked shall fall into mischief. Doesn't say anything about them rising up, does it? They just fall. They don't get back up. Skip down here if you would, and you read in verse number 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. No reward to the evil man. They live their entire life tripping up Christians. They live their entire life looking for you and I to fall. They live their entire life trying to cause us harm and for an opportunity to poke their finger at us. They live their whole life that way, to die and have no reward. Separation and destruction. Verse 20, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Romans 12, verse 19, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. See the end? You see the disappointment? You see the destruction of the wicked? They're watching us. They're seeking us to stumble. They cause us to stumble. They cause us great grief. When we're sick, when we've got financial problems, when we've got problems in our family, when our heart's broken, they sit on the sideline and they snicker and they laugh and they take great pleasure in our calamities. Fret not over them. God, keeping the books, vengeance is mine. Let them laugh at us when we're down. Let them cause us to fall down. God's taking care of it all. Vengeance is mine. They're not going to get away with anything. In fact, they make their punishment and their destruction that much hotter when they afflict the people of God. They'd be better off just to live in their old little sinful world and leave God's people alone. I believe for those that are lost, when they afflict God's people, they just make hell that much hotter for them. Touch not the anointed of the Lord. Psalms 34, verse 16 says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. God sets himself against those who set themselves against us. Verse 21 of Psalms 34, evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Message is about the wicked, their design, their desire. But the good news is it's also about their disappointment. They may trip us up and they may cause us to stumble, but they can't destroy us, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I hope the message this morning will cause us to have a desire to get back up. If you're here, you're hurting. You may be down because of physical things. You may be down because of financial things. You may have problems in your home. You may have heartbreak. You may have problems on the job. You might be facing all kinds of problems that got you down, and the whole wicked world laughs at your calamity. God is there, and God is saying, get back up. Trust in me. You've fallen from one of these things, and you just feel like life isn't worth it, and you've thrown that pity party. Call the party off. Rise back up. Say to yourself, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. God is going to see me through this. I'm going to hang in there for him, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to let the world see a good Christian attitude and a good Christian demeanor and presentation. I'm going to let them see what a Christian does and how a Christian acts when they go through hard times, because God is not going to leave me down. And if you're here in sin, coldness, indifference has caused you to fall. The traps have been laid and you've fallen into them. Rise back up. Rise back up. If you're truly saved, rise back up. Don't stay down there and let Satan laugh at your condition. Don't let the world use you as another excuse for why they don't want anything to do with Christianity. Don't let your life, your testimony, be another reason why people stay away from the Lord's church, why they don't serve him. God help us this week, beginning with myself, to seek to rise up. Whatever's got us down. Revival's not just about seeing souls saved. In fact, revival's more about God's people getting back up. Getting right, getting where they ought to be, getting that fire rekindled, feeling like we used to feel. God help us to get back up.